For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so thrilled. I have gotten such a great deal on Coyote season tickets. Moving forward, see 25, 26, 26, 27. I'm going to make so much money reselling these bad boys. It's fantastic. But for now, it's time to do a little bit of stargazing, playoff stargazing. More importantly, not only do I have my normal sidekick, Mark, with me, but we've invited the enemy. Tom Murch Jr. from our friends, the lovely Vegas Golden Knights, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit of playoffs. Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going absolutely great.
How you Big doing? Salad, Thanks for having Mark? Me.
Yeah, I must be the one person around this whole area who really likes the fact that we're playing Vegas in the first round.
No, that you're going to find, and I think, Tom, talking to you before the podcast, I think the three of us are going to be in agreement that this is the right time for the Stars to play the Golden Knights, and it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
It should be interesting. It's something we shouldn't poison our minds with how the season ended last year, and let's see what this team needs to understand about the opponent, an opponent who's going to be somewhat different than we faced in the Western Conference Finals last year.
I like the mind poison. Tom, how's your mind? Poisoned?
It's pretty open right now. it's optimistic as someone who's covering the defending cup champions and also on the other side, the President's Trophy winner. So before the playoffs officially start, you do have that optimism of, you know, things are going pretty well. And then once game one happens, obviously, depending if you win or lose, that can go entirely out the window.
I mean, isn't that the best part of the playoffs? Almost on a shift by shift basis, you go from they're going to win 16-0. This is great, to they might as well just quit now. Let's all go home. There's zero chill this time of year. And I think that's the best thing.
I mean, what I'm hearing is that Tom's entirely likely to have a podcast in a month and a half, 2 months, where he's talking to himself.
That would be pretty hilarious, and I've not even thought about that potential.
Do you do accent work in that case? Would you bring out a different character to cover Vegas and to cover New York?
I would have to, like, you know, like I see it on TikTok all the time, almost like these like AI type interviews where you have one person standing on one side of the room with certain lighting, and then it's just this constant jump cut back and forth, and hopefully, you know, no one's the wiser.
I think the Vegas side, you'd have like a fake, in my mind, you've got like a fake background with a slot machine behind you. And then in the New York, you're just having like a slice of pizza. And I think you go like super, super stereotypical, right? Like hit the obvious beats.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you said New York pizza. Now you got me going.
Uh-oh. Put that salad away. So we're going to,
we're going to get into the series. Obviously, I'm going to have Tom and Mark talk a little bit about how we got here. Then we're all going to make expert prognostications and tell you exactly how it's going to go, so nobody has to actually watch the games, which save a ton of time. Before that, though, we're going to pay a couple bills. And Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And tonight, we're going to start as the home team, right? Dallas has home ice advantage. So, Tom, we're going to put you on the spot first. And just give us a little bit for, you know, Stars fans that, you know, we obviously, as proper hockey fans, exclusively watch our own team and don't pay attention to anything else. So tell us a little bit about how Vegas's season, kind of like how we got here, how'd the season unfold? What does the team look like heading into the postseason? Where are the Vegas Golden Knights right now?
So the Vegas Golden Knights, they finished in the second wild card spot. They finished 1 point behind the Los Angeles Kings in the Pacific Division. They had a chance to claim that final spot in the division, but they lost the final game of the season to the Anaheim Ducks. And the Golden Knights, they're, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they opened the season on an absolute heater. 9-0-1 in the first month of the season. You know, things kind of trail off a little bit in November, but they're, you know, still keeping their head above water. And then, you know, you turn the calendar into 2024, and it was just this constant, you know, they win a couple games, they lose a couple games, but they're treading water. Then you get around to All-Star break time, and the month of February is absolutely terrible. You know, at this time, they're going through some injuries. You know, they lose Mark Stone for a little bit. You know, you have Alex Pietrangelo out of the lineup. You have, you know, goalie things happening. But they end the season 12-9-1. And like I had said, in that second wild card spot. And as of today, the guys who had been out, you know, Alex Pietrangelo, he had missed, you know, time at the end of the season because he had an appendectomy. He practiced. Mark Stone, who he had, you know, things going on with his spleen, that has seemed to subside, you know, to the chagrin of many others who are, you know, saying, oh, for the second time in the second year, you know, Stone is magically going to be ready for game one of the playoffs. But yeah, that's really the state of the team right now. They're on paper and according to, you know, those in the know, that they're healthy. Now, it's that time of year where you might have not been able to play in game 82, but once the playoffs start, it's, you know, unless you have, you know, lost a limb, you're playing.
Or a spleen, perhaps. I think goalie things started happening is maybe the most hockey possible prognosis. Like that simultaneously explains nothing and explains absolutely everything about what's going on with a particular squad. So yeah, it's you know, that time of year when Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow and all the Vegas players get miraculously healthy in time for a postseason run. So you're saying everybody healthy right now. That's a big deal. I think we'll hit on that and some of the matchups here in just a minute. And we'll kind of pass the baton, Mark, to finish setting the stage. What about while all of that was going on the West side of things, what was going on in Dallas?
Well, I think Dallas got off to a bit of a slow start is what I think most people would say. Goalie things happened. Jake Ottinger was not his normal self, if you will. And so the team struggled. They put the puck in the net, but they gave up a lot of goals as well. And then Ottinger was injured for a while, had a backup who won a bunch of games in the meantime while not necessarily playing all that great hockey. But then kind of when you get to the February, March range, the team kind of gelled. All of a sudden you had three lines that could score kind of at will, and you couldn't really hold Dallas down. It was you'd throw a fist around the team and whoever you tried to put the most pressure on, whether you know, you take out Pavelski, you take out Hintz, you take out Robertson, all of a sudden you have a second line of Sagan, Marchman, and Duchesne, and they come in. And then all of a sudden we get Logan Stankoven, who's a rookie who's leading the AHL in scoring, who makes it up to the team, and he gels with Ben and Wyatt Johnston, and all of a sudden that third line's popping. And so this team is just incredibly deep. And then you bring in Chris Tanev, who kind of solidifies the defense. Jake Ottinger gets on a heater. Team looked like it might be, you know, were they going to play Winnipeg or were they going to play Colorado in the first round? And all of a sudden, they created some distance and ended up running away with the Western Conference.
Yeah, it was strange. So then I think the interesting thing to me, kind of playing moderator and these two kind of dueling narratives, is it crazy to say that both of these teams, again, I love the point you made, Tom, about how everything closes up and all we can really go by is what they tell us. But for the most part, right, both of these teams are entering the postseason largely without serious question marks. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
I would say it's a fair characterization in terms of health. I would say if there is a question mark to be had, and I do wonder how much of this is just the Golden Knights were a team that had a playoff spot locked up and they were cycling through the lineup. You know, there are some people that are kind of concerned with, you know, the goaltending performance towards the end of the season, whether it be, you know, Aiden Hill, who, you know, stole the show last year coming out of nowhere, or Logan Thompson. But I think it's very much a thing where the playoffs start, you have your set lines and you just lean on your experience, and it's hard to just look at a small sample of games that are maybe meaningless in the moment versus, you know, a playoff setting. So on that front, I would say if there is something that people looking in this series, you might say, well, if the goaltending does falter for Vegas, but that's the case in any playoff series.
Yeah. I mean, that was the case against the Golden Knights last season, right? It's, you know, yeah, they'll be fine as long as Aiden Hill can carry the water, right? And he did, and they were.
Lo and behold, he did.
Yeah. Go crazy, right? So it is,
yep.
You know, this time of year, right? Forget about your backup until you have to use him. But, you know, teams are going to live and die by the quality of goaltending they get, by and large.
Well, yeah, and I suppose you can also take a look at the Vegas defense and say, you know, that's a team that has the ability to shut down a lot of action in the dangerous areas. And so they're going to push play to the outside. They have the size where they're not going to be moved around. And they also have skill really in all three pairs. And so of any of the teams that you have out there, they're going to have some better matchups against Dallas's, you know, 3-4 line attack than most other teams out there.
Yeah, it's these are two deep teams, I think. You know, Tom, one thing that does stand out in talking about the Golden Knights, right, is again that supposed health, right? So I think the bright side takes all stem around, well, Pietrangelo's back and Stone is back and everybody's kind of up and running. But some of these players also haven't played significant hockey in a couple of months. What percentage does Mark Stone need to be at for this team to be kind of a serious contender?
The funny thing about that, and I kind of said it at the time that the move was made, but at the trade deadline, the Golden Knights traded for Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals. And you never want to just try and say, oh, you know, this player is comparable to this one, right? Especially when you're talking about someone like Mark Stone. But if you look at the last three seasons of work and you look at, you know, where each player kind of finished, you know, percentile wise, you know, I think like Evolving Hockey is a great resource that I use. And essentially Anthony Mantha was like a light version of Mark Stone. So if you figure Mark Stone,
his kids, we have Mark Stone at home.
Yeah, essentially like, and that was the funny thing where I kind of looked at that move and I said, is this Vegas's way of saying we are not 100% sure that Stone is going to be ready to go? So we want to get someone who kind of fits that profile that we can throw into the mix, that they don't have to be 100% of Mark Stone because they're going to be on the ice at the same time as Jack Eichel, who can, you know, help pick up that slack. But the fact that now you're going to have Stone in the lineup and you're going to have Mantha and you already have guys like Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault, and they added Tomas Hertl, who has looked pretty good. And you have, you know, Ivan Barbashev, who they got at the deadline last year, who has been a pretty good contributor. And you're talking about having options within your first three lines, and that's pushing players who probably would be a little bit higher up in the lineup on other teams to your fourth line. So they're kind of set up in a way where if Stone is only at 70%, they're going to be fine. Now, I think, you know, the fact that they held him out as long as they did, and it wasn't like the injury last year where it was, you know, his back, and that was something where he was clearly limited, where this was sort of something like, you know, like, not to minimize, you know, something going on with your spleen, but that's something where it's like you can kind of wait and see, and it's going to get better on its own, where your back, it's a little more questionable.
That makes a whole lot of sense. And, you know, from a Dallas perspective, I take a look at this and I say, oh, Anthony Mantha. Yeah, we've seen big games out of him against Dallas no matter where he goes. And so that's not a name that Stars fans are all that interested in seeing in a high point in the lineup.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, there's past being precedent, and he played, you know, Mark Stone was obviously a difference maker during the cup run. And so it's certainly someone you circle and think if he can get back, that's a big deal. Now, Mark, on the star side, we have seen, you know, the second line, or supposed, I guess maybe the third line, started like gangbusters, but we've seen some NBA style load management down the stretch out of Tyler Seguin. Is this going to be something that persists over the course of the postseason? What's your take on Dallas's kind of banged up marquee player?
Same thing Tom said. It's playoff time, so you're kind of in it for the long haul until they pull you out on a stretcher. So I'm fully expecting Seguin to be in the lineup and putting in pretty heavy minutes as needed.
My theory is still that Tyler Seguin was legally dead during the cup run. And, you know, you keep him in the lineup, right? It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I think this may boil down to just a matter of which style of play ends up dictating. Vegas has a fourth line that kind of matches what they want to do, which is bringing, they have some skill down there, but they also bring a lot of physicality. And the stars either are going to get wrapped up in that physicality, it's going to be the nature of the beast, or the Stars are going to be able to find their way out of that physicality like they did in the first round against Minnesota last year. And so if you remember that series, Minnesota came out just gangbusters and they were hitting everybody. And it took a while for the Stars to get used to taking those punches to the chin. But by the end of the series, they'd pretty much worn them out with their skill and were able to move on. And this is, you know, a more skilled team than Minnesota was last year, but they also bring that same challenge. And I think that's the way the series is going to move forward.
Yeah, it's whether or not I can deal with this. Let me ask you, Tom, you've talked a lot about kind of how things are trending upwards and where you see Vegas heading into the postseason. As an outsider regarding, you know, kind of relative to the Dallas Stars, what is the thing that concerns you the most, right? When you look at the Stars, what is the piece that gives you pause to think, okay, well, if things are going to go badly, this is going to be why?
So as an outsider looking at the Dallas Stars, I look at the fact that Jason Robertson, who is a very talented player, you know, just by a counting perspective, took a little bit of a step back. And I say, you know, that's something where teams might look at and go, oh, well, he regressed a little bit. And I think that would be the wrong assumption to make, because I, you know, looking at the balance of the lineup, it's just like you had a lot of people who were able to step up and essentially, you know, shoulder the load as a group rather than just relying on the back of one player. I think he's a big X factor. I think he's one of the top wingers in the league, and he can just get on a heater and it's hard to shut him down. I also, the fact of, you know, Joe Pavelski, who is, I think, one of the most impressive players in the league, you know, just because of his durability, like his ability to just continue to get better as he ages. He's someone who loves to live in the front of the net, and he's not afraid to try and tip pucks in, and he's not afraid to get into the mix. And it's like, if you're another team, like looking at this guy and he's not the biggest of players, like that is just something that speaks to you. And it's like, wow, like this guy is, you know, he can't get rattled and he's going to be a difference maker. And then you mentioned it, you know, with the young guys, whether it's, you know, Wyatt Johnson and, you know, Stankoven, who is going to be a really good player in this league. They just are set up in such a way that you can kind of look and see there are four or five players that could just have a breakout and it's hard to shut them down. And that's what makes this scary. Whereas if they're able to get past Vegas, right, you knock off the defending cup champ in the first round. It's kind of like, you know, I think back to like, you know, like the movie The Matrix, and it's like Neo's like, oh, he's starting to believe. And it's like, you get this confidence and it's just, it rolls from there.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team, it had 8-20 goal scorers when all was said and done. And that's not counting the pace of, you know, Evgeny Dadonov had 12 in just 51 games. And, you know, Stankoven, of course, only had 6, but he played a bit of a season. So I think you're right. There are a couple of marquee names that could go off, but there's also about, you know, 2/3 of the forward roster on any given night could have one, and you're suddenly looking at trouble. And then we're going to get into some predictions next, but before we do, Mark, just to return the favor, you know, Tom just kind of talked about the outside perspective of the Stars fans. When you look at the Golden Knights, I know you talked a little bit about their heavy style. What would you say is the biggest concern? Like, what's the thing that gives you pause?
Probably just the high level skill and the ability of certain players on Vegas to put the puck past Jake Oettinger.
Yep.
Eichel certainly has that ability. Marchessault certainly has that ability. Stone certainly has that ability. There's just some high-end talent, especially with the forward group, that can create goals. And if you combine that with the potential of either one of their goaltenders locking things down, especially with a nice solid defensive group ahead of them, I think it's my concern is that Dallas gets frustrated and kind of gets out of their game plan of just rolling lines and letting the goals flow. And Vegas is a team that I think is uniquely set up to be dangerous that way.
Yeah, I can definitely see I think it's the styles make fights series.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think Vegas is going to get their goals. They have skill. They're going to score. The question is whether Dallas can just play Dallas Stars hockey and keep pressure up. I think Vegas might be, this is not the same team that Dallas had last year. The style of play is somewhat different. They're actually a bit more of a possession team. I think it might be a series where the tandem of Miro Heiskanen and Thomas Harley could shine, because that is some skill from the back end that is going to be hard for anybody to match up with. But I think that's the way that Dallas could drive some transition and get some passing going that will turn the size advantage into somewhat of a disadvantage if we can drive it from the back end. But that's kind of the way I see it. And the other concern is just, you know, Jake Oettinger's got to make the saves that are in front of him. And, you know, we don't need absolute heroics, but we need him to be solid.
Yeah, I mean, if he's the guy that started the season, or even the guy that, I think he was, what, 941 save percentage in his last 12 or 13 games, right? If he's the version of Jake that finished the season, then I think that's one version of Dallas. And if he's the version of Jake heading into the All-Star break, right, that's a whole different story. And you know, that a lot can hinge on that. And honestly, Tom, you said the same thing about the crease for the Golden Knights. This feels like it's interesting, and it feels like a series that could absolutely be a banger and an all-timer. It also feels like a series that could be one of those ugly four gamers where we get to the end of it and we're like, oh wow, so this happened, right? Like there is a lot of variability built in here, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that if it's a series that is played mostly 5-on-5, you know, the Stars have the clear advantage. They were one of the top teams analytically 5-on-5, you know, during the season. The Golden Knights were within in the top 10. But if it gets to special teams, that is like a weakness that's been the case for Vegas. And I do wonder if some of that is dependent on missing guys, because they finished the year, you know, with the 16th, you know, penalty kill and 20th on the power play. But again, you know, you've seen in the playoffs and, you know, Vegas especially, you know, that if they are able to get, you know, some calls in their favor, that, you know, they have an ability to turn it on. But I definitely agree that you look at how both teams are built, you know, everything says that this could be, you know, a very interesting series.
So you had mentioned, Tom, in the build up to this, that you had, I teased this in the intro, that you had a controversial opinion about the result. And I kind of laughed about, you know, I think that not necessarily the result, but the matchup, sorry, about whether or not the team should be excited about this matchup. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the three of us are going to humorously agree with you or agree with each other, mind you. So why don't you walk me through, and this touches on predictions a little bit, but as a Vegas fan, you know, looking at the number one seed in the Western Conference, clearly, he says, setting up a bit, clearly you must be very, very nervous that the Golden Knights have to tee off against the Dallas Stars in the first round.
I think it's the opposite. And I think basically, as I say it, right, it applies for both teams. So in the sense that if the Dallas Stars get past the Golden Knights, they're going to be in good shape because of the type of team they had to go through. And, you know, in the case of the Golden Knights, this is an opportunity to play against probably what would be one of the tougher opponents going, you know, throughout the playoffs, and it's integrating people back into the lineup. So in many ways, like, you know, a phrase that's, you know, tossed around at times is like a get right series. And I think that applies for both sides, but I think that the Dallas Stars probably would have liked it if, you know, Vegas had been able to finish third in the Pacific and avoided this in the first round. But, you know, like we were just saying, like, you know, I think it's going to be a good series, but I don't think it's, if you're having an opportunity to pick an opponent for round one, I wouldn't have wanted to pick Vegas.
This is a better series for the fans than I think it is for the players. This is the type of series that you want to see later on in the run, because you hate to see one of these two teams get booted out in the first round.
Okay, so that's the way you're going. Because I agree with that, but I'm actually agog, and I feel a little bit differently. And I think that if you're the Dallas Stars, I think that you're looking forward to this series happening in the first round. And I think it's because Vegas right now, I mean, you even touched on it in your kind of buildup, Tom. They're a wagon. They've got a hyper talented roster. They've got a fantastic defense, but they had to integrate some parts. They had to kind of scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. You know, we don't necessarily know what shape Mark Stone is in, right? There's some stuff. The flip side, with the exception of Tyler Seguin having something going on that seems like they've been able to work around down the stretch, Dallas right now is kind of going right. They're healthy. Jake Ottinger has strung together a good dozen starts or so, right? So he seems to have answered some questions earlier in the season. And I know that as a fan, we would probably rather this series be a conference final, but I kind of go the other way. And, you know, you're going to have to beat either the Vegas Golden Knights or a team, you know, or a team like the Golden Knights. It's, you know, you're gonna have to beat a big team at some point. Wouldn't you rather do it in round one when you've at least got all of your pieces, right? Nobody's got that, like, you know, nobody is playoff healthy, you know, with the big old asterisk. They're actually not, and, you know, regular season they'd be out. Everybody's kind of there. And so you might as well, if you've got to go through the defending champ, if you've got to go through this Golden Knights roster, if you've got to get that job done, you'd rather do it while you're at full strength or close to, versus, you know, stuff happened. A very big storyline last year during the playoffs is, you know, things were going great for the Stars. They were kind of accounting for themselves with a little bit of a patchwork back line, and then Miro gets banged up and it cost them, right? They lost Evgeny Dadonov in the playoffs last season. It hurt them, and you could see these things manifest when they finally did get to the Knights.
And so part of me is like, this is the exact time that I want Dallas playing the Golden Knights, because as a fan, it's going to be a great series. But then as a Stars fan, I've got all the names on my playoff card. All the guys that Dallas needs are there still. Right. And that's a good thing. And honestly, Tom, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it may be the same perspective for Vegas, right? If you're going to have to go through Dallas, do it now before somebody else gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it from that perspective. I think the only thing that plays in Vegas's favor is that if they do lose, they are the defending cup champs. From a roster building perspective, they've added pieces that, you know, should be back next season. You know, they have some, you know, players that they still got to work, you know, contracts out for. But in the case of like the Dallas Stars, right, like this is, you know, one of their better seasons in the, you know, the history of their franchise. Like obviously they were, you know, contending for the President's Trophy, you know, down the stretch. And if they were to go out in the first round, I feel like perception wise, that would be a big disappointment. And while they are still, you know, positioned to be contenders going forward, I think it's different if you lose a little later in the playoffs, you know, even though they are playing the Golden Knights, because people could inevitably say like, oh, well, this was a Golden Knights team that finished worse in the regular season. Like ultimately, depending on how it goes, people are going to be able to spin narratives however way they want. That's just the nature of you know, coverage in general. But I think from Dallas's perspective, you would want to get a first round series under your belt, feel good about yourselves, and then want to run into a team like Vegas, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mark, what do you think?
Well, to use a different sports analogy, I kind of view the hockey playoffs as a bit like body blows in boxing. Mm-hmm. And I think this series bodes poorly for both teams, because I think both teams are going to take a lot of shots. And so you'll go into the second round, whoever comes out of it, a little more wounded than one of the other teams that they're likely to play. And playoffs have a cumulative effect.
Yeah.
And so I would much rather be seeing Vegas going through and doing this against Edmonton, just because I think Edmonton put some strains on Vegas's system that we don't necessarily put on. But this is just going to be a tough matchup, because the teams, they're skilled players who have a lot of experience. They know what it takes. Nobody's going to back down. And so it's just going to be mentally and physically exhausting to get through the series, no matter who comes out on top.
Yeah, it feels like a series where experience could really play it. And I think this is where, and as with so many other things, this is where you could sell me on Dallas's depth being both a strength and a weakness, right? Because in a series that shapes up to be a series of body blows and a series of matchups, Dallas's ability to throw four lines at you that you have to worry about, you know, you can't take a shift off. We saw when they hung five on Edmonton, right? This is a team that there is no like, okay, we can catch our breath. It's just this line, right? They can all go. I think the flip side is there isn't a Jack Eichel on this roster. There isn't necessarily a single, you know, and just because the NBA playoffs are starting off as well, right? There isn't a guy that you'd run a clear out with every time. Okay, we're down a goal. We need a thing. We're setting up a play for this player, right? So I could also see it being a series in which if you're looking for a singular source of inspiration, you don't always get that with Dallas, right? Sometimes it's Sam Steele scoring two critical goals, right? Sometimes the Nashville game, it's, you know, it's Yanni Hakanpää winning one, right? It's not always the marquee name, which can be good, but it's that difference between, do the things that help you win a regular season conference, are those the same things necessarily that help you win a best of seven? Right. And that, I think, is a question Dallas is going to have to answer. And I think one of the reasons that Vegas is an intriguing matchup and is going to be a difficult matchup is Vegas has depth. This isn't me
Tom, by the way, saying that, that Vegas is a one-line team or anything like that. It's not.
Oh, but for sure.
There are, you know, there's two alphas, right? There's Jack Eichel, and then if he's healthy, Mark Stone. And you can really look at that forward core and, you know, Vegas needs a goal. They got a couple of guys that can just do it, right? And it's going to be interesting to see Dallas try and balance that out. And maybe we learn that you know, maybe Wyatt Johnston is ready to be that guy now, right? Or maybe Jason Robertson having a lesser workload during the season, or maybe, you know, Mira. There are candidates that could, but you don't have a marquee in the same way. And I think that's whether Dallas can turn that into a strength or a weakness, or frankly, whether Vegas can turn that into strength or weakness, is going to be really interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And I think one of the things that maybe concerns me as a Stars watcher, Dallas can't afford to get behind in this series. And I'm not necessarily saying down one game, but if they don't come out ready to play in first periods and they get down,
yep,
you're not going to necessarily shorten the bench with the forward group, but they're going to shorten the bench with the defenders. And you're going to put a lot of minutes on Miro Heiskanen, and you're going to put a lot of minutes on the top four and potentially the top five, since we all know Pete DeBoer. And that will have more of a cumulative effect, because Miro Heiskanen is still the player who makes this team go. And if he's playing 27, 28, 29 minutes a game, that's going to be very difficult to use for more than one series.
Yeah, that gets to your playoffs as a whole argument, right? And it's really difficult to see Miro carrying that kind of workload against this season. And it's very difficult to see that not coming back to bite them. And maybe that's why Thomas Harley is going to be so important. The Chris Tanev acquisition. I do think if you're the Stars, and I remember the collapse in game two last playoffs, I do think one of the advantages that Dallas has, and one of the reasons the Tanev trade was so important, is I do think you can shorten the bench a little bit and look at Dallas with, you know, Lindell, Tanev, Harley, and Miro. And I think that defensive foursome is miles different than last season, when it was, you know, Hakimpaa and Suter and, you know, not quite yet Thomas Harley and Miro, right? The composition of this defense is much different. And I think it's going to play a big role. And yeah, you can't overburden, but having four guys is so much different than having two.
I'm kind of interested in hearing who the surprise players to watch are.
So I would say for the Golden Knights, if you're going to talk about surprise players to watch, I would say one for sure is Ivan Barbashev, who they picked up last year and fit in pretty well in their top six. He's someone who I think just has a game that's, you know, built for the playoffs. He's been very good just sort of figuring his way and trying to be a contributor in a lineup that has, you know, so much star power. And I think he's one of the few guys where it's like you're looking at these forwards and it's like, oh, they're not like under the radar, so to speak. I don't know if he's considered that way, you know, anymore. But like, you know, William Karlsson's another one who, with all the acquisitions that the team has made, you know, he's kind of become, you know, a little less high profile as a player.
I was going to say, he feels like your point earlier about guys sliding into the proper position in the roster, he feels like a guy that's really benefited from the moves that Vegas has made. And maybe he's less exposed where he is, which means, you know, it's that classic, like, if he's in the right spot in the lineup, he's fantastic. If he's too high, he's not. So he feels like a guy that's really in a good spot for the Knights right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, what you try to do as a team when you have good players. You know, one of the obvious things you can do is, like, obviously you want to add, you know, even better players. But when you can do that and then slot someone down and just, you know, enhance your overall depth, that's really great. And then if I were to pick someone out on defense, I would say Shea Theodore, who, again, he kind of fits the same sort of vibe as William Karlsson, where you have Alex Pietrangelo, you added Noah Hanifin at the trade deadline, and now Shea Theodore just kind of isn't at top of mind as a contributor on defense who can push the play and generate offense and is a big, you know, factor on special teams. And it's just, you know, someone that if he was on another team, he would assuredly be, you know, on the top pair. But, you know, he has the luxury of being a little bit lower down in the lineup on this Vegas squad.
How about you, Mark? What's your surprise?
Well, I was gonna follow up on one thing, which we really haven't talked about. How has Hanifin fit in since he came over?
Hanifin has been a great addition, and it's funny because after the trade was made, like there were initial rumors that, you know, as part of the deal, like an extension was included, but you know, the trade goes through and it's like, yeah, you know, we're just gonna see how things go. And you know, he starts, you know, playing, and he's really, really beneficial to them. Like I was looking at some of the, you know, underlying analytics, and he was one of their top D-men. And then he signs the 8-year extension. It's like, well, this kind of really makes a lot of sense. And I guess you would kind of want to do this before the playoffs, because, you know, he's the type of player that if this continues, he could add, you know, a lot more dollars to his eventual new deal. So he's certainly been a good addition for them, and he's going to, it makes me wonder when they do have to free up some cap room in the summer, are they going to look at, you know, some, you know, people on defense that may no longer be as useful for them. So good bit of business for them.
That makes sense. I was going to follow up with some of my underdogs on Dallas. I think one of the people to watch out for is Esa Lindell, who since the Chris Tanev pairing has become much more involved offensively than he has in the past. And he came up as a kind of an offensive defender and then slipped into a defensive defender role. And he still has some skill. And I think that might be a difference maker, where the Stars shutdown pair on defense can contribute to the offense more than you might be ready for.
I like that. I have a name for you, Mark, on the other side. I think this feels like a series tailor-made for 2023-2024 Mason Marchman.
Marchman's kind of a he could go either way in my mind.
He could. And that's kind of why I'm listing him as a surprise versus kind of an expectation. We, you know, he was wretched last year. He was benched by the end of the playoffs, but this year has been a revelation. And I'm specifically thinking about some of the stuff Tom was talking about, special teams being important. And, you know, some of the things you were talking about, how, you know, Vegas is a big team and a physical team, and Dallas doesn't have, it's not like they're going to go toe to toe with anyone physically, but Marchman is an agent of chaos, right? And he's a guy that's going to generate special team opportunities, and he's a guy that's going to generate physical space for his line mates. And I think the version of the Dallas Stars that gets through this series is going to be in a lot of ways driven by, you know, Marchman, when he's at his best, is banging into things and drawing calls and scoring weird goals and giving Duchesne space to be clever and playing off of Tyler Seguin and doing all of the things that turn Dallas into a really dangerous three high skill line teams. And he also does it in a way that, you know, just might be able to unsettle Vegas a little bit and put Dallas on the power play a little bit more. So I think a version of this series in which Dallas is successful, I feel like one of the things we're going to look back and think about is how well Marchman played.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely watching Marchman, because Marchman is that key point where either Vegas is going to get under Marchman's skin or Marchman's going to get under Vegas's skin. And which way that falls is going to make a humongous difference.
Marchman's a good name. Like the way I would describe him, he's a productive pest.
Yeah. Sometimes he's not productive. He is a feast or famine guy. And it seems like this year has been more feast than famine, but yeah, I could see, I think that's a great point, Mark. He's very Radulov-esque, right? Like Mason Marchman is sometimes he's the guy that's drawing two penalties, putting you on the power play and scoring a goal. Sometimes he's the guy that's taking inexplicable offensive zone penalties and putting you down a man and just, you know, killing your momentum. And they're going to need him to be one version of that to succeed. Now, you know, outside of the surprise, I'm sorry, Mark, did you have any more surprises?
No, that was mine.
Then outside of the surprise, and we'll start with you this time, Mark, what's the marquee name? Like, who's the guy that we are expecting to play well that's going to be kind of your MVP for this series?
I mean, I think you have to go with the new guy, Matt Duchene. This is the big difference maker player who came in and really created, out of his ability to be creative, a second line that could be a first line for Dallas. And he's the key to this team being able to roll everybody. And so I think Duchene is a guy, he's high pedigree, you know, top draft choice when he was coming out, a lot of skill, a lot of speed in the prime of his career. If you look at it just from a selfish point of view, you know, he's on a one-year show me deal. This is his way to get a humongous last paycheck if that's what he wants to do. I think he's just the guy who is going to stand out and impress.
I like that. I think, yeah, and you're absolutely right. He seems to be the key to that second trio. And if he can get them going, then you got to feel like you like your chances as a Stars fan. Tom, how about you? Who's the name on the top of the marquee that we're all going to, you know, if and when Vegas is successful, we're all going to look and just kind of shrug and say, well, of course.
So the name that I think people would expect me to say is Jack Eichel. Yep. But the name I'm going to go with, who is in a similar situation as Duchene, is Jonathan Marchessault. And Jonathan Marchessault has been a huge part of the identity of the Golden Knights, formerly the Golden Misfits, since they've entered the NHL. And someone that's been looked at as, when you think of the Golden Knights, you think of Jonathan Marchessault. He is set to be a free agent this summer. And, you know, I think he's going to be back. I think the team would want him to be back. But the fact that he wasn't extended and the team's made the moves that they've made, it's something that I think is going to weigh on him a little bit. And the team has been cutthroat in how they've built this roster. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury was a fan favorite as a part of the organization. And, you know, he was sent away, you know, for nothing. And, you know, that was just part of the business that's allowed them to have the financial flexibility to make the Mark Stone trade, make the Jack Eichel trade, make the Tomas Hertl trade. Just this sort of, you know what, we're making a move that's best for business. So I think him coming off the season that he had, you know, setting career highs in goals scored and, you know, just leading the team in points and being so integral to the team's success last year, he's looking at this as an opportunity to say, hey, I am a big part of this organization. I'm someone that should be the first player to have my number retired by the organization. And just remind people of that and have a really successful playoffs that, you know, leads in him signing what should be his final contract to be in the NHL and hopefully finish with the Vegas Golden Knights.
I like that. I think for me, and it's, you know, again, the easiest one in the world, Miro Heiskanen could absolutely win the series for the Dallas Stars. He is, you talk about, you know, setting the pace, controlling the rush, zone exits, all of those things. He has been fantastic this season. And I think he finally has a little bit more breathing room, right? He's got a partner that kind of helps him rather than an anchor in Thomas Harley. And I think that, no, Mark, to your point, I don't think Dallas wants him playing 27, 28, 29 minutes a night. The flip side is, I think that he can. And I think that if they need him to, he will. And I think that this time of year, that's the sort of thing that matters. And you can absolutely sign me up for a Dallas Stars victory in this series. And then we're looking at the box scores afterwards and thinking, well, of course, Dallas won. Every time Miro was on the ice, they controlled the play, you know, shut down the other team's line and scored a couple, right? And so I think that he is the sort of predictable factor. And the bonus answer, obviously, is, you know, I don't think goaltenders ever count, but if they get 941 Jake Oettinger, it's a whole different thing. You know, I know we're running up on the hour mark. We want to wrap this up. I do think we can't possibly do one of these without getting everybody to throw a prediction in. So, you know, Tom, tell me a little bit, including I'll put you on the spot to make a call on who wins and what the game count is. But tell me a little bit, how do you think this series goes?
So I think it is good for the Golden Knights that they're starting the series on the road, because it is going to force them to get into the action right away. Home ice advantage is very important in the playoffs, and it's equally as important to steal a game to take away that advantage. So I think that plays in their favor, knowing if they can steal a game in Dallas, that they're, you know, heading to back home to Vegas in, an arena that they've, had a lot of success in. And, it's obviously, being in Vegas, it's not the quietest place in the world. So it's, kind of hard for teams to, settle in. Whenever I make predictions, I don't even when I think it could be the case of, oh, this series is going to go seven, because you're essentially saying, I'm going to flip a coin and it'll pick my side. But I predict the Golden Knights are going to win this series in six games. I think that getting back the players that have not been in the lineup is going to be a big boost for them. It's going to reorient the lineup, putting players who had been asked to do more of them down in the lineup, and you're just going to have a lot of depth. I think that that is going to, create some chaos for Dallas from a matchup perspective. And I think that the fact that they added someone like Noah Hanifin just to sort of, shore up the defense, which, has been a little questionable. And now you're asking a lot less of someone older, like, Alec Martinez. And that just, that mix, puts them in a position to, advance and fight to live another day.
I like that. Mark, how about you? What's your view?
I like the six games, and I actually think that that Dallas starting at home is probably a disadvantage maybe for Dallas. I think they're going to need to get hit in the jaw a little bit up front. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose game one. But unlike last year, this is a team that is coming in healthy. It's a team that has the depth in order to make adjustments. And I think Pete DeBoer will make adjustments as this series goes on. And I think by the end, it's going to end up being a lot like the Minnesota series from last year in the first round. And I'm going to go Dallas in six.
I actually had the same prediction, and I give myself the host caveat of, I could honestly see this series. I don't think it's a seven game series as well, Tom, to your point. I could see this being one of those like super close five game series, right? Where the series itself is over relatively quickly, but every game is like one or two, overtime or one goal or mm-hmm. close, just because of the way these teams play. I also, check the jerseys on the wall, right? I also tend to think Dallas is going to get through. And I think the biggest difference is last year, Dallas had to hide flaws, right? Ryan Suter was their guy in late game situations trying to preserve a lead. And Tyler Seguin had, one line made, and Mason Marchment was getting benched. And I think this year's team, while they don't have that kind of luminary, I think you have an elite first line still. Jason Robertson and Rupe Hintz are every bit as good defensively as they are offensively. They can just blot out the sun if they need to. And I think that over the course of the series, I think if Pete DeBoer can get his matchups right, and if Pete DeBoer can work his lineup correctly, I think that these are two capital E elite teams. But based on the way that this season went, based on the health and the recent performance, and based on all of those factors, I just think that at every position, Dallas is a little bit deeper and a little bit better. And at the end of the day, I could see it being, those are the sorts of things that matter. And if they get the goaltending they're getting right now, and if they get the performances they're getting right now, they're going to have just enough to get past a just brutally talented Vegas team. And this is going to be one of those, you can probably look at the second round and say the loser of this series would probably have gotten through the second round if they could have just gotten through the first round.
Yeah, although I will say the West this year is just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at it, as far as I'm concerned, the only team that's out there that couldn't make a serious cup run is maybe the Kings. And even there, the Kings have shown in the past they can come from nowhere and do that. I think that the West is going to kill itself off, and the East may just run away with the Stanley Cup because the West killed themselves.
It's definitely possible. I do think, though, this is going to be a really good series, and these are two really good teams. And if I can be neutral for a moment, I'm glad we're getting it, and I'm glad we didn't have to risk not getting it by having it happen later in the postseason. I'll take high-end hockey wherever I can find it, and this is going to be from just the very top of the drawer. Tom, want to thank you for joining us. Mark, as always, loved your insights. KT doing the hard work, putting it all together. This has been Stargazing, presented by Bet Online. Podcast over.